World Health Organization says the Al-Shifa Hospital, which was once the largest hospital in Gaza, has now turned into a, quote, death zone. Yemen's Ansarullah movement says it will target all ships operated or owned by Israeli companies in retaliation for the regime's war on Gaza. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that the developments in the Gaza Strip blew the lid off the Western country's support for racial discrimination. Ayatollah Khamenei says that Israel is the epitome of racial discrimination. The regime considers itself the superior race, and that's why it massacres thousands of children without any pang of conscience. Ayatollah Khamenei says that the support lent by the leaders of the U.S., Germany, France, and the U.K. for such a regime means that they support racial discrimination, which is one of the most loathsome issues in the world. The leader added that what's happening in Gaza demonstrates the military and operational failure of Tel Aviv. Ayatollah Khamenei said that the regime has failed to achieve its stated aim of eliminating Hamas and the resistance despite more than 40 days of bombing campaign. He stressed that atrocious bombing of hospitals and women and children in Gaza proves that Israeli leaders are angered by their failure. Ayatollah Khamenei also urged all Muslim nations to cut ties with Israel, at least for a limited period of time, over its genocide in Gaza. Israel's genocidal war in Gaza is entering its 44th day. There seems to be no end in sight to the painful tragedies. One of the latest attacks has hit two schools, killing scores of people.
حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
The regime targeted the UN-run Al-Fakura school located in Jabali refugee camp and another one in northern Gaza. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has strongly condemned the attacks. Nasser Kanani urged the international community and Muslim states to act against the regime's crimes. Tel Aviv has ordered Palestinians to move from North Gaza for so-called safety, but deadly airstrikes continue to hit central and southern areas of the Strip. At least 80 Palestinians were also killed in the regime's airstrikes on residential blocks south of the Strip. According to the Health Ministry, the death toll stands at more than 12,300. Women and children make up the majority of the victims. The World Health Organization says that the Al-Shifa Hospital, which was once the largest and most advanced hospital in Gaza, has now turned into a death zone. A team led by the WHO visited the hospital in northern Gaza after the Israeli army raided the medical complex and forcibly evacuated thousands of people taking refuge there from the regime's attacks. The WHO said that there were signs of shelling and gunfire. It added the team saw a mass grave at the entrance of the hospital, with more than 80 people buried there. The UN health body said that the situation in the Al-Shifa hospital is desperate, and it has essentially stopped functioning as a medical facility. The remaining patients included 32 babies, which were in what was described as extremely critical condition. Cancer patients in Gaza are no exception to the regime's crippling restrictions on basic supplies and medicines. Let's take a listen to the comments of two doctors and a father of a patient at a Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital. They explain how the Israeli bans are impacting the patients.
The situation is not only tragic, it's more than tragic. Cancer patients are a fragile group. They need a lot of care from nurses and medical teams as well as psychological support, which we don't have now. As you all know, time is a really important factor for the life of the cancer patients. And if there was a delay in getting chemotherapy treatment, this will cause deterioration in the case. There were some cases we had to discharge and send to shelters. Unfortunately, four of these patients died because of the lack of medical care and because of the bad conditions there.
The situation is very, very, very bad in Gaza. It is a disaster situation. It is a call for the international community. Please come and save Gaza. say something about Gaza. Do an action. You could be saying something very good. Yes, we are hearing you. Thanks to you. But really, we need you to come and take an action, to cease fire in Gaza, to stop killing of Gaza people, to stop killing of our patients, to stop killing our cancer patients.
My son has a cancer. He has a dangerous cancer. Today he is bleeding from the rectus because the cancer mass is pushing against the muscle and the rectus. So he has been bleeding. He had an appointment to be treated in Nablus on the 8th of October, the second day of war. But unfortunately, the war started and he stayed in Gaza. Then the Turkish hospital was hit. There is no chemotherapy treatment or painkillers. I called on the Palestinian Authority, the health ministry, that I want painkillers.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it's launched an attack on a U.S. base near the border in the eastern Syrian province of Homs. Iraqi resistance group says it targeted Al-Tanf base with a drone, and that after a local media reported a separate drone strike on another U.S. base in the village of Tel Bader in northeastern Syria on Friday. That attack injured at least one U.S. military personnel. U.S. bases in the region have come under repeated attacks since Tel Aviv began its onslaught on Gaza. Resistance groups in Iraq and Syria have claimed responsibility for most of the incidents. The U.S. has offered unconditional support for Tel Aviv and its bloodshed in Gaza. Yemeni armed forces reportedly seized an Israeli-linked ship in the Red Sea. The ship named Galaxy Leader and owned by an Israeli businessman had 22 people on board. The Israeli military has dismissed the report, saying that no Israelis were among the ship's crew. Early on Sunday, Ansarullah warned that it would target all ships associated with Israel in regional waters. Ansarullah has recently launched a volley of missiles and drones at Israel in response to its onslaught on the Gaza Strip. All right, allow me to invite a couple of guests in this special coverage. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Yemen, Yusuf Mowry, is joining us. Also with us is Firas Al-Najm. He's the manager of the Canadian Defenders for Human Rights in Toronto, Canada. So let's begin with Yusuf. The warning was already there by the Yemeni armed forces, and they had warned time and again that they could, in retaliation for what the Israeli forces are doing in Gaza to Palestinians there, they could launch their own attacks, any ship that passes Bab al-Mandab or regional waters, the Red Sea. And now it looks like that they have just started this and they have seized this ship. Of course, the Israeli forces are saying they're denying the details about this. Let's see what details you have for us.
So nothing has officially been confirmed as of right now. The spokesperson for Yemen's armed forces, he's expected to give a TV address whereby he would share more of this specific information that people are waiting for. But what I can tell you is that this ship is linked, from the reports that we're getting, is linked to the Israeli regime, right? And according to the Ansarullah officials, the military spokesperson, they will target, they will seize, they will block any ship or shipments or cargo shipments that are linked in any way, shape, or form to Israel, to Israel's economy, and to Israel in general, right? And it doesn't matter really, according to Ansarullah, who owns this ship. It could very well be owned by an Israeli businessman. It could be owned by some other nation. The important aspect here is the operation of the ship, whether it's shipping military equipment back and forth to Israel, right? Whether it is engaged in export-import activities aimed at improving the Israeli economy. So that's what the Ansarullah movement is targeting. They're waging their own version of a blockade on Israel. And this blockade aims to block any shipments, whether it be trade shipments, military shipments, or manufacturing shipments in and out of the Israeli entity. So we're still waiting on confirmation, just the whereabouts and the details of the ship. There are some reports that there was no Israel, you know, there was no Israeli soldiers. This is coming from the IDF. You know, they're claiming that there was no Israeli soldiers on the ship, but I think they're failing to realize the object here is not necessarily just to you know, arrest and detain IDF members. You know, upon on this ship, the point is to block shipments heading in and out of Israel.
Okay. Thanks for that. Yusuf Mari, our correspondent in Sana'a, Yemen. Now, let me ask Faraz al-Najm in Toronto. Faraz, the latest in this Israeli brutal aggression against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip has been the hitting of a couple of schools, like Fakura School in that refugee camp. Tens of people have been killed in the most brutal way. Let's hear your comments on that.
Yes, I mean, this is continuous war crimes, breaches of international law, human rights violations, and this is the history of the Zionist regime from the beginning till now. We're not surprised, you know, even if the whole Al-Shifa hospital was blown into pieces and destroyed, I mean, I would not be surprised, because this is the history of the Israeli regime. They don't care. And the problem that we're facing, the major problem is, and the biggest problem in this world, is that these countries in the West that claim that they're fighting for human rights and they care about international law are the ones watching and witnessing all these crimes happen without any penalty. The Israelis get away with any crime somehow. The worst thing that they can ever get, the Zionist regime, is a few condemnations here and there and a few statements. And that also doesn't seem like it really bothers them much. And if it does bother them, they'll just reply back like what they did right now with the Canadian prime minister, where he spoke out against the killing of women and children, and you know, pretty much telling the Israelis that you guys have no laws to war, and there is rules to war, and there is laws there that are in the United Nations and so on. But they came back, you know, punishing him with a statement to retract what he said and to apologize in some ways. And they made him apologize in a different way for what he said. And that's what the Israeli regime is. They really feel like they're over the law. They're above the law. And somehow they truly are, in a way, because they're not getting punished by anybody. The only person that's truly punishing them is the axis of resistance. And I think this is the best way going forward. I mean, there's no other way. You know, I think the Palestinian people are in a very hard and difficult situation. And they've been reaching out to the United Nations, and they've been reaching out to so many different organizations to help them out. And for all these years, they didn't get no assistance, no real help, no real justice. So they had to climb over that wall and that blockade, and break that concentration camp and fight back and hit this occupation, you know, with the expansion of settlements. I mean, what other options do the Palestinians truly have at the end of the day if the United Nations is not doing their job, and you know, these Western regimes that are pumping fuel and oxygen into the Zionist regime are not intervening to help the Palestinians and fight the Israeli regime. They have to fight with their own hands. They have to fight with their own weapons that they make in home, in their houses, in their offices, in their factories. They have to build something to fight the Merkavas and the fighter jets. At the end of the day, no matter what the Palestinians do, it's still not an equal war. There's no justice still, because the Palestinians do not have fighter jets. Let's not forget that. The Palestinians do not have ports. The Palestinians do not have airports. The Palestinians don't have any of that stuff, you know, and it's just incredibly crazy how on the news they make it look like the Israelis have a right to defend themselves, and that the Israeli regime has a right to defend itself. And all these Western politicians come out with the audacity to say that, like, you know, this is, you know, absurd. They don't have really any respect for humans when they talk like this. They don't have respect even for their own agreements with the United Nations that they've signed for, these Western regimes, of giving the human beings the right to fight injustices and fight you know, occupations and fight for liberty. I mean, they signed for these, you know, they went to Geneva Accords and signed like all these prime ministers from years back, you know, and right. Now they're not letting the laws be implemented and executed. They're actually trampling on the United Nations, they're trampling on international law, and they're all culprits. They're all criminals. Honestly, they all have blood on their hands. When you help a criminal, you're involved in their crime. If you bury that crime, if you support that criminal while he's committing crimes, when you don't work towards bringing justice and prosecuting the criminal, that means Netanyahu and Trudeau are friends and they're helping each other. That's right. What it means. Yeah. Unfortunately, this is what we're dealing with right now.
Okay, appreciate your comments and insight for Asal Najem, manager of the Canadian Defenders for Human Rights in Toronto, Canada. And with that, we come to the end of this newscast and special coverage.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime has been attacking hospitals in Gaza City directly. According to witnesses, the wounded are everywhere, corridors, stairs, floors, and yards. The mass killing would overwhelm even the most well-equipped hospitals anywhere in the world. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Ibrahim Matar is a doctor working in the intensive care unit of Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital, Central Gaza. He said, Since the first day of the war, I have been living in a hospital as a doctor and a displaced Gazan. Matar has not seen his family for the duration of the war. He had to leave them so that he could work in Deir al-Balah, the city where the hospital is located, he said. It is catastrophic here. The wounded are everywhere, corridors, stairs, floors, and yards. The mass killing would overwhelm even the most well-equipped hospitals anywhere in the world. Gaza, which has always teetered on the brink of collapse even before the war, is sadly no exception to this reality. We don't have enough beds, equipment, or staff to help everyone properly. People are coming in with really serious injuries, burns, head injuries, and multiple broken bones. The ICU at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital has only 18 beds. That is inadequate given the huge numbers of people who have been wounded in the Zionist regime's airstrikes. Matar said, wounds are usually severe and inflicted to the extent that worms can be seen in the wounds. Patients who have been rescued from under the rubble usually have extensive burns filled with chemicals and dust. In one case, a 20-year-old woman had severe burns all down her right leg. Her wound was severely infected and full of dust and rubble. Doctors used vinegar and chlorine bleach to sterilize the wound. They also gave the woman multiple antibiotics. The efforts to save her proved unsuccessful, and the woman died in the hospital. Matar said, "Patients came to the hospital and we have nothing to provide. Analgesia is only available in the operating rooms. Otherwise, patients have to tolerate the pain no matter how severe it is. Unfortunately, even in the operating rooms, they will run out of analgesia soon. The Zionist regime has killed many of Matar's friends and colleagues in a hospital. He said, Doa Awad was a hard-working, caring, and nice doctor. She received the dead bodies of her uncle's family before she went home to check on her family. The next day, we received her as a martyr. Muaz al-Nabhin, a volunteer doctor, was torn to pieces in an attack. He had been learning German as he planned to undertake a specialist training in Germany. Anas Youssef, a pregnant mom of a three-year-old son, was killed along with her son. Her husband, a doctor, has sustained a severe spinal injury and is now unable to walk. Matar said, families full of dreams were killed in less than a second. These doctors have left an irreplaceable gap in our hearts. As fellow humans, friends, and colleagues in the medical field, their absence adds to the growing scarcity of vital medical staff, intensifying the weight of loss in these circumstances. The Zionist regime has been attacking hospitals in Gaza City directly and has ordered the evacuation of patients in some hospitals. Matar heaps scorn on such orders. He said, "Evacuate to where? This is nonsense, illogical, and impossible." At least 223 healthcare workers have been killed in Gaza since October 7th. Among them were 72 nurses, 37 physicians, 26 paramedics, 21 paramedics, and 14 laboratory technicians. Doctors are emotionally scarred by what they have seen and continue to see, particularly by receiving their own families and friends' dead bodies. Many doctors have seen patients die. Matar said, a patient was fleeing to the south and witnessed bombardment nearby. His heart stopped. We tried to resuscitate him, but unfortunately we lost him. The situation has gotten so bad in Gaza that people are saying they would prefer to be killed swiftly than be injured in pain without proper treatment. Like everyone else in Gaza, doctors are struggling to keep going with very little food and water. Matar is tired of empty gestures. He urges everyone to pressure their leaders and insist that the Zionist regime ends its violence against Gaza. According to Al Jazeera English, more than 20 patients have died at Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital in the past few days as the Zionist regime forces continue to raid the facility, according to a hospital official and the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza. The Health Ministry said recently 24 patients died over the past 48 hours due to power cuts at the hospital, which has been out of service amid the fuel shortage. Health Ministry spokesperson Ashraf Al-Qudra said recently, 24 patients in different departments have died over the last 48 hours as vital medical equipment has stopped functioning because of the power outage. Muhammad Abu Salmiya, doctor at Al-Shifa Hospital, told Al Jazeera that 22 patients have died recently. The health facility has become the focus of the Zionist regime's ground offensive in northern Gaza, with special forces coming through the facility amid growing international alarm about the fate of the hundreds of patients and thousands of civilians seeking shelter there.
Thank you. the ocean of dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran. And we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us. Brothers and sisters, in the previous episodes, as you were with us, we were discussing different objectives of supplications. And we said that since the religion needs some philosophical and intellectual subjects to be dealt with, we see that a plethora of the excerpts of supplication engage in dealing with these philosophical and mental issues. So, this means that we have a spring of knowledge in our supplications. For example, we were having a look at different parts of the supplications to bring some cases and examples of this part. For example, we said, when we say in the supplication of Arafah, أَنْتَ الَّذِي لَا تُحَدْ فَتَكُونَ مَحْدُودًا, you have no boundary to be limited. وَلَمْ تُمَثِّلْ فَتَكُونْ مَوْجُودًا, you are not visualized to be an object. This means that what is referred to here in these expressions and by these words means that the Almighty Allah is the absolute power, and the real monotheism, which is neither limited nor exemplifiable, is referred to. This monotheism does not have appearance. It is not derived from anything else. The Almighty Allah is not having any associate or partner. This is because if He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has any of these things, then He will not be the absolute power. He will not have the attribute of being alone. That is why this claim is supported by other supplications. For example, we read in supplication Kumail, وَبِوَجِهِكَ الْبَاقِي بَعْدَ فَنَاءِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, O God, I invoke you with your face that will remain after the perdition of everything. وَبِنُورِ وَجِهِكَ الَّذِي أَضَاءَ لَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ, and with the light of your face with which everything has lit. Ya Nur Ya Quddus, O you the light, the most holy.
I remember when I first met you.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil jawab anjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti ab anjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedast. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va asfal. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, dear listeners, we said that these concepts, these intellectual issues dealt with in our supplications are supported by each other most of the time. So the Almighty Allah is described to be alone, and the concept of monotheism is discussed in different parts of our supplications. And when we see this referred to in supplication of Arafah, for example, this concept is also supported by other supplications like Humayl, for example. When we say, بِوَجْهِكَ الْبَاقِي بَعْدَ فَنَاءِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, this infallible Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, has collected all Gnosticism in these few words. وَبِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الَّذِي أَضَاءَ لَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ, and with the light of your face, with which everything has lit, يَا نُورُ يَا قُدُّوسُ, O you the light, the most holy. Imam Ali alayhi salam has seen that everything is relying on Almighty Allah's light, and has seen that man's salvage from the darkness of non-existence is only due to God's light, which is the absolute existence. However, by using the expression of بِوَجْهِكَ الْبَاقِي بَعْدَ فَنَاءِ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, with your face that remains after the perishing of everything, Imam Ali alayhi salam has referred to the absolute and everlasting dignity of God. This is one attribute, this is one aspect of being a God. And after considering everything as dependent on God's light, he has used, Ya Nur, Ya Quddus, O you the light, the most holy. So Imam Ali alayhi salam has used this word, Ya Nur, Ya Quddus, so that he would hinder the dubiousness of adding an associate or a partner to him. This is what he has in mind. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, O God, you are the absolute light, and everything else has got its light from your light. So glory be to you. You are the Almighty Allah. Why would we, as the creatures, turn to someone other than you, when you have created us, when you are the absolute cause? And this is referring to one important thing which we have already discussed and emphasized many times up to now. The thing is, the supplicant, prior to be engaging in supplication, needs to have some kind of knowledge of the Almighty Allah. And this, what we see in these supplications, is what supports that issue. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be the most close to you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Zainab, peace upon her, the defender of humanitarian values. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, everybody, and heartiest felicitations to you on a very auspicious occasion. Today, the 5th of the Islamic month of Jamadi al-Awwal, is the birth anniversary of an Immaculate Lady, which, in memory of her supreme service to nurse Islam and all humanitarian values back to life, is celebrated in the Islamic Republic of Iran as the Day of the Nurse, to honor the services to humanity of these paramedics who strive day and night to ensure the recovery of patients suffering from various ailments. In today's rapidly growing world, the selfless services of the nursing staff, whether male or female, have assumed added importance, especially in view of the sacrifices they offer for the recovery of patients while braving natural disasters, epidemics, and even wars and genocide, as is evident by the tragic events in Gaza, where the brutal Zionist entity is mercilessly bombing civilians, including children and babies, to terrible death. We start our special feature with the following phrases as fitting tributes to this great lady, especially by those visiting her resting place, to salute her personally. You are pure and the purifier of the land where you are buried, and you are on a very high station. I wish I had been with you and under your banner. I beseech Allah, who blessed me in this world with your pilgrimage, to grant me the blessings of your intercession on the last day, and gather me in your company and under your banner, and quench my thirst at your fountain of Kauthar. It is obvious from the phrases which you heard that the address is a person who is no longer physically present in the world. Yet, The words indicate physical death has not numbed the senses of the addressee, who seems to be aware of the presence of the addresser, is hearing, is seeing, and might respond. The sentences speak of the lofty position of the person addressed as not just personally pure and spotless, but a purifier of the land of eternal repose. The addresser then wishes, if only he or she had been with the person being addressed and under the banner of the addressee at crucial junctures, certain benedictions would have been his or her share and some calamities averted. The concluding passage proves that the grace of God is the share of the pilgrim, who yearns for the fresh flowing fountain of Kauthar, where the true believers quench their thirst, while the angels of wrath drive away the disbelievers and the deviationist who in the mortal world of the transient world had teased, tormented, and tortured these heavenly personalities. Today happens to be the auspicious 5th of the month of Jamadil Awwal, the day on which the addressee was born and whose identity now becomes crystal clear. She was the eldest of the two granddaughters of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. She was the daughter of such immaculate parents as the noblest ever Lady Hazrat Fatima Zahra and the barometer of faith Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon them. She was none other than Zainab, peace upon her, the sister of the leaders of the youth of paradise, Imam Hassan Mujtaba and Imam Hussein, the martyr of Karbala, peace upon them. Upon you, O Sayyida Zainab, on your blessed birthday, which we celebrate every year this day, whether at your holy shrine in Damascus, the capital of Syria, or afar in lands where your devotees dwell. We strive to be among the fortunate ones who, though prevented by the barriers of time from coming to your assistance at the tragedies that struck you in Karbala, Kufa, and Damascus, have at least rallied from all over the world to defend the sanctity of your mausoleum against terrorists of all hue and color and their cowardly masters. You endured the tragedies of the fateful day of Ashura in Karbala and its equally tragic aftermath in the courts of the tyrants in Kufa and Damascus for the sake of the Lord Most High, in order to make Islam triumphant. With that immortal phrase on your lips, I have seen nothing but the grace of God. Today, when the hordes of Satan in the form of the Zionists, the Takfiris, the Americans, etc. are threatening the security of the land where you rest in peace, your real followers have volunteered to sacrifice their life and limbs in order to nullify the sinister plots of the modern-day Yazidis. This is ample proof of the peerless position of Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her. It means when any conscientious mind turns to the epic of Ashura and the traumatic aftermath of history's greatest tragedy, it will acknowledge that Islam and all humanitarian values, without the least doubt, are also indebted forever to the heroic lady whose indefatigable role earned her the title of Sharikatul Hussein, or partner in the mission of Imam Hussein, peace upon him. a proper perspective of the dynamic personality of Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her, reveals that she did not emerge spontaneously in Karbala or at the scenarios schemed by the avowed enemies of the Ahlul Bayt in Kufa and Damascus, where the women folk and children of the Prophet's household were paraded behind the severed heads of their dear ones mounted on lances. In fact, Karbala and the two centers of power in Iraq and Syria merely provided the fitting climax to a fruitful life of almost six decades that started with her blessed birth during the days of the Prophet and ended in her mournful martyrdom some 4 years after the heroic sacrifice of her brother. Therefore, although it is beyond our ken to fully gauge the pride of place in the history of civilization of a lady whose real merits are known only to God Almighty, the Prophet of Islam, and the infallible Imams, we could at least have the honor of paying our humble homage to Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her, by studying her eventful life. From the day she had opened her eyes in the abode of divine revelation till the day she departed from the world, she was surrounded by the aura of spirituality. Her nephew, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, the fourth Imam, in praise of her eloquent sermons in Kufa and Damascus, that awakened the conscience of people when the Nobel prisoners were brought before the Umayyad rulers, said the realities and finer points of God-given intelligence and knowledge that his aunt demonstrated is not easy to grasp by even the most erudite scholars. He rightly remarked, "You are, by the grace of God, a scholar unschooled by anyone and a sage by connection." Dear listeners, we end our brief program wishing success for the selfless endeavors of all those striving for promotion of humanitarian values in society, including doctors, nurses, paramedics, relief workers, journalists, social activists, and the like, with a proper salutation to Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her. Peace upon you and upon your grandfather, your father, your mother, and two brothers. Peace upon you and upon the infallible Imams of the progeny of your brother, Hussein, peace upon him.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Here on The Key and on behalf of IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our esteemed listeners congratulations on this most auspicious and happy day, because as you know, today marks the anniversary of the birthday of the daughter of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the sister, the noble sister of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the Lady Zainab. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at some of the virtues of this most noble lady. What are the question we want to address today is then, what are the virtues of this noble lady in the light of the hadith? In fact, there are many hadiths which have been narrated regarding the virtues of the Lady Zainab. As you know, she doesn't fall under the category of the 14 infallibles. She doesn't technically fall under the category of any of the 14 infallibles. These are limited to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Lady Fatima, and the 12 Imams. But she is, nevertheless, many virtues have been transmitted regarding her. And this indicates the fact that if she wasn't an infallible, her station and her proximity to Allah was very close to that of the infallibles. For example, in one hadith, it's been narrated that one of the Imams, alayhi salam, described the Lady Zainab, salamullah alayha, as a knowledgeable person, a knowledgeable woman who had not been formally taught by anybody. This kind of is an allusion to the fact that she had been given a type of God-given knowledge on behalf of Allah. And this in itself is a very high a virtue. It indicates the fact that she was directly instructed and given a certain type of divine knowledge, on behalf of Allah. And it's also been narrated in one very beautiful hadith that when she was a young child, she and her brother, the great Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, both of them were sitting on the lap of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And she asked her father whether the Imams loved their children or not, to which he replied, "Yes, of course. We do love all of us love our children." Then she asked, how could it be that this could be so when you, at the same time, you love Allah? And it's been in the Quran, it says that no single human being has been given more than two hearts in his breast. To which the Imam was very surprised that this young child could be aware of such a matter, and he became very happy, and he embraced his children and both of them, and he responded to them. This indicates the fact that these personalities who were not technically infallible, they had arrived at and achieved a very high level of proximity to Allah and had been given a very great knowledge and wisdom. And thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the virtues of the Lady Zainab in the light of the hadith. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Thank you.
lullaby, my darling. Lullaby, my son, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. I've dug the earth with my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. And you, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms. I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you. My roots, Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since somebody inside my aching heart, somebody inside our land, our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice. Your blood roots me here, this land.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says that the ongoing genocide in Gaza indicates the Israeli regime's anger over its military failures. The World Health Organization